Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, at your bidding, we have come into your house to pray and to hear your saving word, that we may obtain instruction, consolation, and refreshment for our souls. Therefore, we humbly implore you to open our mouth, ears, heart, and mind by your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly learn your holy word, and with hearty desire, eagerness, and devotion, attend to it, and from it learn to know you, that in the midst of all trials and needs, we may have your comfort, mercy, and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Today we come to the book of Habakkuk. I'm probably saying that wrong. Just know, you'll have to forgive me right off the bat. But this book is often overlooked. It's often neglected in the Bible. No one really knows anything about it, except for the last seven words of our reading from this morning. The righteous shall live by his faith. And even then, people only know this verse because Paul quotes it in Galatians chapter 3. They never actually read it out of the book of Habakkuk. It's because it's a New Testament verse as well. However, these seven words are quite profound. And I would contend that Habakkuk was written for a time such as the one that we are living in right now. So, history, here we go. Habakkuk is written just a few years after King Josiah died. And if you remember your Old Testament history, King Josiah was an outlier amongst Israel's kings. Most of the kings succumbed to Baal worship, false gods. But Josiah returned the Lord. Josiah reinstated the celebration of the Passover. Josiah renewed the covenant with God. He was leading the people back into faithfulness, back towards God, after they had the evil king by the name of Manasseh. Everything was going great. And then Josiah led the Israelites into battle, and he died in the plain of Megiddo. Israel decided that his reforms were not all that important after his death. And so they went right back to their old ways. Idolatry, false worship, and that is what Habakkuk is writing about in his book. It's the evil that has creeped back into the people of Israel as they forsake their God. And so he pens these words. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Of course, we can relate, can we not? We decry the violence that happens in our world, right? School shootings. Violence, God. You see the violence going on? Anybody want to take a trip about 2 hours north and we'll find ourselves in Chicago? Violence, God. Come on. What about the looting and the riots and the arson that have happened in the past few years? Not to mention the murder of the unborn that's been going on for decades. In the midst of the sins that we see in our nation, in the world, we cannot help but fall on our knees and ask God for help. Right? In prayer. God, there's violence. There's strife. There's contention. There's destruction. And with Habakkuk, we wonder, how long will God allow these things to continue happening? We see the iniquity in the world, things that people now laud that we know are evil, like those in the LGBTQ community, the wealthy who continue to virtue signal without actually doing anything productive to solve the problems, and the dangers of critical race theory that are on the rise. How long will God idly look at wrong? How long, Lord? There's destruction, there's violence, there's strife, there's contention, and the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. Sounds very familiar. And so truly today, we are left echoing the prophet. How long shall I cry for help? The Lord answers Habakkuk. Unfortunately, his response is not in our reading. We didn't hear it yet. But I'm going to read a portion of it to you. And so this is how God responds when Habakkuk tells God that he's lying idle. God says, "Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who marched through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own." And then God goes on to explain how fearsome they are, and how violent they are, and how powerful they are, and the sort of destruction that they're going to bring to the people of Israel. Now you can imagine how Habakkuk feels about that. Whoa, God, I was just complaining about Israel's sin, but the Chaldeans, they're worse than we are. At least the Israelites are pretending to worship God by putting his altar right next to Baal's. At least they're worshiping both, right? The Chaldeans, they're just completely pagan. They don't care about anybody. And so Habakkuk thinks this is a great injustice. The Chaldeans are evil. They're pagan. They're not good. But that's where God leaves him. That's it. Sorry, great injustice. Chaldeans are going to destroy you. Deal with it, Habakkuk. Now, we need to stop here for a minute. I don't want you to think there's a one-to-one with Habakkuk in our time. Okay? God is talking to a very specific point in history, because the Chaldeans, who we also know as the Neo-Babylonians, eventually did come in and conquer Israel. This happened. And so God is talking about something that's going to happen in the future during Habakkuk's time, but now we can look at this and go, it's already happened. Okay, so I don't want you to think that some evil nation or some, you know, external nation is going to come in and take us over. Right? However, what the book of Habakkuk does teach us is that God is not ignorant, and God is not idly watching anything. God knows what is happening in our country. God knows what is happening in the world. And so nations rise and nations fall according to God's will and God's will alone. Evil happens because God allows it to happen. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Nothing is outside his power. And so God is going to deal with sin according to his own will and according to his own time. Now, if that means there's another evil nation that's going to come in and destroy us, so be it. If that means that we tear each other apart in the United States via civil war or some other method, then so be it. If it means that maybe God rises up a ruler such as Josiah to lead our nation back to faithfulness, or at least to recognize there is a God in the world, then so be it. Maybe we can fight as God's Christians, as God's people here on this earth. We can fight for the truth. We can fight for what's right. We can fight for what the Bible says we should be fighting for. And maybe we'll win some small battles, and slowly the ship will begin to turn. Or maybe better yet, Jesus will just come again. That'd be the best, right? That'd be the easiest solution. Just come on, Lord, on the clouds. Let's go, right? The hard part for us as God's Christians is that we don't know. We don't know how God is going to deal with the sins of our time. They're before our eyes. We see them constantly, and we know he's going to deal with them. We just don't know how. And we don't know how long. As human creatures, we are very bad at patience. But that's what we need to exercise. Just like Habakkuk, we're left with God's answer, and his answer is that he will handle things the way he knows best. And so what are we to do? This is where God gives us that famous line. The righteous shall live by his faith. God will take care of business, and you will live by your faith. First and foremost, that means you need to have faith. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that his death, he died for you. That his resurrection, he accomplished and conquered the grave for you. That his blood was shed for you. His last breath was for you. His perfect life was for you. All of it was for you. Because like Habakkuk, we recognize injustices in the world. And if we're going to live by our faith, the number one injustice we really ought to notice is the injustice of what Jesus did for us. He's the only person who's ever been perfect in the entire world, the only man who didn't deserve death, who didn't deserve violence to be done to him. And yet what does he do? But he willingly goes to the cross to be subjected to the violence of sinful men. And not just those who nailed him to the tree, but to our sin. Our sin was counted against Jesus. That's why he endured the violence. That's why he endured God's wrath. And we simply have to be humble in that reality and submit ourselves to it. And my friends, your sins are forgiven because of Jesus' great love for you. But the righteous living by their faith is not simply just believing this truth. It is then fighting for this truth. Strife, contention, violence, destruction, we see them in the world. And what is the solution to these things but Jesus? And so we're called to go, to confess the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who told us the truth will set us free. But not just for us, but for the whole world. For our entire nation. And there are people out there who don't believe this. Or there are people out there who reduce Christianity to Sunday morning. Or they reduce Christianity to simply being able to confess John 3:16 for themselves. My friends, there is so much more. We're called to live the Christian life and to encourage other people to do the same. When your brother sins, rebuke him. And when he repents, you forgive him. That's the solution. Because in teaching the world what is true, in teaching the world what is good and right and salutary, according to what Christ has handed down to us, that is the only way to get rid of destruction and strife and violence and contention. And so, my friends, today and always, believe the gospel. Believe that what Jesus has accomplished, he has accomplished for you. And then share it with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.